Happy New 2009. Day two.
I should say Neil Wilkinson from Yahoo. Sorry, Wilf.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is, in fact, Wilf. I know that's a bit of a funny thing, but my real name is Neil Wilkinson, if you really have to call me that. We'll get the presentation on. Yeah, here we go. Great. So I'm really happy to be here, guys. I just thought I'd give you a quick insight into kind of who I am and what I'm going to be talking about today. So like I say, you can call me Neil Wilkinson. That's all right. I have worked in Yahoo Australia now for about 6 years. I'm currently the technical director of Yahoo 7. But, you know, my background is being a geek, basically. The fact I'm wearing a collared shirt today is a bit of a surprise for me. But, I mean, I have to do that for work. But, you know, Amanda describes me as a pointy-haired geek and a long-time Yahoo 7 technology lover, developer, manager. Isn't that great? What am I doing here today? So, I'm certainly here to share some of the joys of the Yahoo Open Strategy. Like I say, I am a geek. I get very passionate about some of the things that we're doing, and in fact, of course, what the whole internet's doing. I could echo a lot of what you just heard there in terms of like the internet being a new space and being a very interesting environment for all of the open stuff that is happening. So I will share a tiny bit about the browser-independent front-end development that I do enjoy, but what I'm really here to talk to you about today is the YQL. I won't preempt that. So, I mean, just to quickly to touch on it, Yahoo is opening its technology. Yahoo only does have thousands of developers after all, right? There are millions of developers out there worldwide, and why can't they use Yahoo's technology too? Obviously, we gain a benefit from that. We should be clear about that. The fact that millions of developers are helping us improve our technology at the same time as we're helping out millions of developers. So obviously, we do believe in open. We do have open source technologies. I can't remember the last time I had to pay for a software license in Australia. Of course, we embrace the open standards too. We do like to give back to open source. I think UI is a really good example. The Weissler stuff we distribute. And of course, we do employ some of the lead people in these spheres as part of what we do. Okay, so obviously the Yahoo user interface is something that's been around for several years now. And it's really focused in my mind. I mean, these are all my opinions, right? But if you develop for the user and not for the browser, then you've solved a lot of problems, right? Why do we bother developing stuff for Internet Explorer versus Firefox versus Chrome when what we should be doing is thinking about what the user wants? So obviously, we reset the browser CSS styles. All browsers have to have similar layout behavior. We change the font so they look the same on every browser. We should be using percentage sizes. We should not be looking at a mock and going, okay, we should make that a 12-point font to make it look exactly like the mock. Because, you know, that just doesn't work for screen readers. It doesn't work for accessibility. So these are the things that we really should be doing. Use CSS grids. I mean, when I develop my own stuff now, I don't understand CSS to the point of that these guys do. So, you know, I use the grid stuff in order to lay out my pages. Just to show you that really quickly. This is the grid builder. So we start off with an empty page, and we can add columns, add rows, and basically make a page from scratch. Obviously, you can add some style to this stuff, but this takes care of the complexity for you, right? So we show the code, and there it is. So the markup for this page is now that long. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen all this before, but that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited about front-end development. Obviously, we do have lots of widgets as well that we make. I couldn't build you a calendar, but I certainly can use one on a page. Just a really brief introduction. I mean, I think, you know, some of the stuff that we have opened up is pretty significant in this environment. Certainly, BOSS, Build Your Own Service, is currently unlimited access. I believe they are going to put some restrictions on it for commercial use. But essentially, frees up all of the web search information that Yahoo has, and please feel free to use it on your pages. You know, if we provide data, and if millions of developers can add some of their own, you know, special source, we call it here, but their own innovation, we can actually see that data used in unique ways. Obviously, Flickr, it is the most used photo API in the world, and I think that API call gets some photos from my stuff for Sydney. So just to give you a quick introduction and reminder that obviously Flickr is one of the most successful things that Yahoo's looked at. So what technology hasn't Yahoo opened is more the question, really. I mean, if you look at this slide, it's just insane. The amount of stuff that we've put together to expose to users, the infrastructure and the data that we have. So YQL, this is the good stuff, right? It is a command line language to get data from lots of APIs, okay? It's pretty much that simple. It is a RESTful interface, so in your code, you can take a REST API, make server-side HTTP requests, or obviously put it in a JSON callback function, and you can move it all into JavaScript. So this is basically how YQL works, right? You're selecting data from services where a condition applies. Pretty simple SQL kind of syntax. So rather than just me talk to you about syntax, I thought I'd come up with a couple of examples. So let's take a normal RSS feed and search all of its descriptions for a keyword. So we're selecting data from RSS as a source of data, but where the URL happens to be this, the RSS URL, and where description contains the word the. Now, obviously, the is there because we've got lots of top stories that flow in and out. So for example, here is the console, which I understand you may have seen some of yesterday. But essentially, here's my query. It's got a government in it at the moment. Here is the REST query that will make that actually happen, which you can copy and paste into application. And here's the data that is then returned. Let's see if the internet's working, shall we? It might be working, but it's working slowly. Okay, well, I pre-prepared everything anyway, so that's fine. But essentially, there's your REST query. Take that and copy and paste it into your application, and you can start using that, right? So, I mean, that's a very, very basic example and doesn't really demonstrate the power and the mashup ability of YQL. So an idea I had was to find some key terms from the latest news, right? So this could be used in all manner of environments where I might want to show Flickr photos that relate to that RSS feed. I might want to show web search results around these keywords. But basically to give a flavor of what's happening in the world on a minute-by-minute basis. So in order to mash up one API into another, we use an in clause, which is obviously best demonstrated with an example. So that's a similar thing that we had on the last page, where you take the URL of the RSS, and we just want the first item, so we use limit one. But then we wrap around that a different API where we're selecting star from a different API where condition applies in that subset. Okay, so the data in the middle part then gets fed into the outer part. So essentially what we need to do then is to get the terms that appear on the first level of our top stories. So here's an example that I ran yesterday. And there's the query up here. And the XML that what was returned was Southeast Queensland wild weather chaos. Okay, so that's now given me a flavor of what is happening in the latest RSS feed on Yahoo. I can then pipe that into Flickr. I could pipe that into all sorts of different environments. Okay, you can get a lot more complicated than this, of course. So I actually had this set up for Star City a couple of days ago, but unfortunately, because this event has already started, it no longer comes back in the API. But here is an example, right, where we get the metro ID of Sydney. So we need that in order to use the upcoming API. We find venues for Sydney that are called, instead of Star City, 303. So we select the address from upcoming.venue, where the name is 303 and the metro ID is in the Sydney part. Then we get the where on earth ID from that address, right? So we want a unique, specific area of the world. We wrap that in yet another select statement. Okay? And finally, let's get some Flickr photos for this area. So it actually worked quite well when it was Star City because you got all the photos around Star City and it was relevant. But you can see here that the metro ID matches the ID in the inner clause. The text matches the address for that inner clause. And finally, we select star from flickrphotos.search where the where on earth ID is in that list. Now notice that where on earth ID is not necessarily the same field name. You're just piping data from one query into another. So this is one that I did run yesterday, I believe. And this is my JSON display and my function callback in here. So what this has given me is the JSON function callback and a whole list of data on each of the Flickr photos that are relevant for that. So I've looked for Sydney, I've looked for the name 303, I've piped that, I've got the address out of that, and I've done a where on earth lookup, and then I've got Flickr photos. So I've mashed up four different APIs. This took me, you know, 20 minutes to put together. So what I then did is just make a really dirty, excuse my coding, this is very prototype, I do apologize, but essentially a very simple Flickr display. And that is that query there is the query that I got from the REST query console here, okay? So what I end up with, hopefully, is this very, very simple hack where it's managed to get the photos around Surrey Hills, where 303 is, okay? So, I mean, I'm sure I've done that in a very convoluted fashion, but it was more just to demonstrate the power of mashing up lots and lots of different APIs into a single environment. This is some of the data that you get back, so you can see I just decided to display this on the page. That was the API call I made, and in the background, these are all the API calls that happened in order to get my content. So there's two upcoming calls, one API call, and I'm not quite sure why there's two of them, but yeah, what two well enough ideas. Okay? It's a very, very powerful way of mashing up data together. And I guess the point being that it really is a lot easier than, you know, you don't have to be spending hours and hours farming data, formatting data, trying to get it into your database when what you can be doing is just mashing it up with what is, to all intents and purposes, a simple SQL statement, of course, YQL. Now, as part of the YQL sets, there was an enormous amount of data that Yahoo has provided in order for you to farm. So these are the table lists that come, and you know, you can show tables, you can describe these tables, you can find out what data's in them, and the list goes on. You know, this is the kind of stuff that we've provided for you. However, there is a lot more than, you know, Yahoo is not about opening up its technology just to use Yahoo content. We are also about improving the web. So what if I wanted to get some content from a HTML page? Very simple. I select stuff from HTML where the URL is news.com.eu and the XPath contains H3. So that's over here. So now I've managed to get all of their top stories out of their front page. Okay, very, very simple. There's far more than that as well, and this isn't something I've actually pre-prepared a demonstration for, but open tables, there shouldn't be any reason why you restrict yourselves to the content that you can find on the web. If you have your own content, you want to upload it to an open table, it's all of it there and available for you. Just a couple of notes on the good practice of developing with YQL. Obviously, it is a remote web service, right? Your YQL query is cached for you by the Yahoo infrastructure. However, personally, if your server's in Australia, you probably don't want to rely on that. If you're making several requests on the single page, then you might want to consider KEL and its multi-function, so you get all of your queries in one go. But it's really important to cache near your server. You know, I think some of those queries on first hit, when Yahoo hasn't cached it, might take 3.5 seconds to come back. So you make sure you cache. And also important to avoid hitting our limit. So there is a limit of YQL of 100,000 different requests per application ID per day. Sorry? Per IP, there is a restriction too. Good point. I think it's 1,000 per IP per hour or something. Is that right? Yeah. So, you know, test using the console. It's a great little environment just to get something working. Copy the REST query into scripting language of choice. I'm going to suggest PHP is a good one. Or use the JavaScript JSON callback. So I'm pretty much done for you guys. In summary, it is a very quick and easy way to get data to your fingertips. You can mash up a huge variety of data, including APIs, contributed open tables, your own open tables, and any publicly available feed or web page. You just think about any form of data that you see out on the web, and theoretically you can just represent it in this fashion. So by all means use Yahoo data. We do provide it for you. Obviously we do feature it because that's what we want to see you using, but you don't have to use it. It's completely up to you what data sources you decide to collect using YQL. At the end of the day, just have fun with it, you know? Just mash up data, show us how innovative that Australia can be in mashing up all this data and presenting it in unique ways to the Australian audience. Okay, thank you.
time for some questions.
Got some time. Yep. I'm not exactly clear. Like, we do assume it's XHTML, and we do kind of convert it to that in order to get the tags out. I mean, certainly if you're... This is more a mashup to show what's possible with data. I don't actually recommend scraping other people's pages in order to get business-critical data. The XPath is there, and it is there to demonstrate what you could do if you had the data more accessible. But personally, if you're going around scraping other people's web pages in order to get data for your company or for your project, then perhaps... should be looking elsewhere to get them to provide an API. Yeah. Anyone else? I think it was really quick in my talk, so talking a million miles an hour.
Good, great.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Will.